can have a seat. Hey, good to see you guys. Happy New Year, Arbor Church. This is so fun to start the year together. This is the first Sunday of the year, so I know it feels a little weird because we don't even, this last week, we barely knew what day it was, right? You couldn't ask, and we couldn't guarantee that we knew that it was Thursday. But today feels like Sunday because we're back in this church together, and it's so good to see you. If you are having a little bit of brain fog and you're still trying to find your way and figure out who I am, let me introduce myself. My name's Allison Acone. I'm one of the pastors here at Arbor Church. Ryan is taking the day off because they say that pastors need one now and then. So this is his one. 2026, mark it now, this was his day off, right? Okay. I thought what would be fun as we were kind of getting our juices flowing again, I thought it would be fun to do a little game with you. And I thought how perfect, because Ryan's not here. No one's going to tell, right? If you don't tell, I won't tell. But we're going to play a game before we start our sermon. Kind of different, huh? You in? You're in. All right. It's called Sit Down, Stand Up. It's super easy. All you have to do is follow the directions. If I say a thing that applies to you and I say stand up, then you... Thank you. So easy. Okay. Stand up if you were here at Arbor Church on Christmas Eve. Oh, and I'm going to go fast. Here. Great. All right. Stand up if you missed Christmas Eve because you were traveling. Sit down if you were in Hawaii over Christmas. We want a chance to shame you. Sit down if you were, okay, all right. Sit down if you wish you were in Hawaii over Christmas. Okay, that should be all of us, right? Oh, come on, Bob Dean. All right, here's another round. Another round, keep it fast. Okay, stand up if you had a Christmas tree at your house this year. Oh, yeah, all right. Sit down if it was a fake tree. Okay. Sit down if you had colored lights on it. All right. This is live white light people here. Okay. All right. Stay standing. Okay. Stay standing if you've already taken down your real tree with the white lights. Nope. Tree has to be gone. Anybody clean it up already? So who is standing then? Are live Christmas trees with white lights? No, that have already been taken out. You've already cleaned up Christmas. Is that right? Excellent. You guys deserve some applause. Good job. You've done Christmas right. What? Oh, I mean, sorry, that was written somewhere. Never mind. Forget I said that. Don't tell Ryan I said that. Anyhow, later in the message, you will figure out why I mentioned Christmas trees. They were on my mind. Obviously, I'm writing this message over Christmas, right? I'm sitting in front of my Christmas tree. So no big surprises there, but the Christmas tree theme will emerge. Stay tuned. Before we get into our passage today is going to be coming out of John 15, and Jesus is going to be talking about resolutions, which is something else that we have on our mind other than Christmas trees at this time of year. So if you have your Bible, I want you to flip to John 15. We'll also have it on the Jumbotrons as soon as we're ready, but let me set it up this way. We're 4 days into the new year. Okay, our resolutions have kicked in a little bit. We're probably doing all right if we have them. We have eaten the rainbow. We have cleaned out the pantry from no more sugar remains, right, John? And dry January is alive and well. And truly, yay for us if this is true. So as I was prepping for today, I did some research on resolutions. I wasn't that interested in knowing like what people resolve to do because I figure year after year it's always the same, right? It's what I'm figuring. But what I wanted to ask was, have things changed over time? Have resolutions changed over time? Because I feel like cultures' attitudes have been changing. And I wondered if it would be reflected in their resolutions. And so it's not so much what people resolve, but how priorities have changed over time, okay? Well, one major shift showed up around the pandemic. and I have a graph for you to look at. The bottom line, that's interesting. That is the wrong graph. That is really too bad. Okay, you can take that one down. Wow, that's so unfortunate. Okay, imagine with me then. Imagine really high bar graphs on things like physical health and financial health. Most people want to save more money and they want to be in peak physical condition. So their resolution's highest bar, okay? That has remained unchanged over time. But when the pandemic happened, there were two spikes that came up very close second to those high traditional marks. And those were emotional relationships, like to improve relationships and to have better life balance. And the other one was mental and emotional health. Okay, so we're seeing not just financial health and physical health being priorities, but since the pandemic, people are optimizing and prioritizing mental and emotional health and also their relationships. What is exciting to me as a pastor is I feel that these trends actually reflect the heart of God for us. I feel like he's high-fiving us on these and saying, yes, I actually want those things for you too, okay? So now we're going to segue into John 15. Before we do, I want to remind you, both you and God desire your flourishing. The difference is how you source it, okay? So if he's agreeing with you on those things, it may be that you're sourcing it differently than how he would intend for you to. So let's look at John 15. The context of this passage is that this is taking place between the Last Supper and the cross. So Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples and imparting instructions to them before he goes. It's his last conversation before the cross, and it takes place in three chapters, John 14, 15, and 16. So we're right there in the middle with chapter 15. And here he has a resolution for them. We can imagine that there would be some urgency in his words, because if this happened right after the Last Supper, this means that Judas would have exited already and had started his betrayal. There are 11 disciples listening to these words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that don't produce fruit, and he prunes any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you remain in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll produce much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. Okay, so spoiler alert, I have a wine grape vine here in front of us for our illustration. Some people came up and were like, oh, is that like an ugly Christmas tree or like a Charlie Brown? And I'm like, well, maybe, but hopefully you'll fall in love with her as much as I did by the time we're done here, because it represents the truth of this passage, okay? The vine. So what did we notice in the passage? Who's mentioned here? Well, first, Jesus is using agrarian imagery, which is really familiar to the disciples. And he's explaining spiritual truths in their language so that they'll understand it today and moving forward. Because every time now that they see a vine, they will remember his words to them. I think here in Woodinville, we're kind of like familiar with the wine stuff too. So hopefully every time you see something wine or vine related, you'll think of him as well. So the characters in this passage are Jesus. Jesus is the vine, the one who is rooted. It's like the vertical thing here, also known as a vine, it is that into the ground, right? He is established, he is rooted in the soil, he is the life force of the plant. And God is the vine dresser, also known to us common people as the gardener. His job is to evaluate the branches, see what is unhealthy and remove anything that would be unhealthy. And then that's called pruning back things that are unhealthy so that the fruit can flourish. Dressing the vine is an ancient practice of cultivating a plant in order to obtain the best fruit possible. So anything harmful is removed, and the energy of the plant then can go into nourishing what is beautiful and good. So Jesus is the vine, the vine dresser is God, and lastly, Jesus says that the disciples are the branches, and that is where the fruit grows. Fruit grows on branches, right? So I said that there was a resolution in there. What would be the resolution? Is there an imperative or an ask that he's making? Is there an invitation? It's in his phrase, remain in me. He's saying, stay connected, stay attached, and resolve to do so. Resolve to stay securely attached. To resolve, of course, is to make a firm decision for something, or it's an intention or a plan. And he's saying, get the first things first. Stay securely attached. So hold that thought for a minute, and we're going to talk about fruit. As a branch is connected to the life-giving vine, so is our connection to Christ. And that gives life. Without the connection, we're cut off from the life source like a fallen branch from the tree. A fallen branch lacks the ability to generate anything living, not a bud, not a bloom, not a blooming thing, right? I want to give you an example from real life that probably is like pretty close to home. John and I used to have a tradition of cutting down a live Christmas tree every year before we got so ancient and feeble. Instead of kneeling in frozen mud, bent over a little saw for hours now, we have a new trick. Our new trick is to go to Home Depot. So glamorous, so Instagrammable. We go to Home Depot and we call what is a surprise tree. We call it a surprise tree because it's already cut and it's bundled. And we only know the type and the size. And we just take it over and the elf helps put it on, you know, the roof or whatever. It could not be easier. No frozen mud. It's fresh and beautiful for about 10 days, as long as we're watering it. We lose interest really fast. But after a few weeks, here's what happens at our house. All of a sudden, the tree droops, and it drops needles, and it changes from that vibrant green to more of like a dusky sage. And at this point, we realize, and we're horrified to discover, we have a dead tree in our living room. It just didn't even dawn on us until then when it showed that sign of death. But here's the thing. Our tree started dying as soon as it was cut in the woods. It started dying as soon as it was removed from its root system, from the life source. Its demise had begun then. Of course, water helped it appear like it was alive, but it could never produce new life. It was not going to produce a little acorn or even one more needle after being cut from the root. So like our tree, verse 6 continues. Jesus says, if you don't remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into a fire and burned, or taken to the curb for the Boy Scouts to compost. So here's what we learned from that. that secure attachment leads to our flourishing, but detachment leads to decay, right? Secure attachment brings life. It flourishes us and keeps us as living branches instead of sticks in 2026. We flourish because we are living how God intended for us to live. From the very beginning, just as vine branches are created to grow grapes in an array of Chardonnay, Merlot, and Cabernet, we are to release a fruit that embodies the design and DNA of the vine. Being securely attached to Christ, the vine and the life source, leads to a generous, lavish life and a plentiful crop of goodness. So at the beginning, we had said that both you and God agree that flourishing is good. The difference is how you source it. So knowing that staying attached to a life source that is Christ, we produce a fruit that looks like the vine. As Chardonnay grapes produce, or Chardonnay vines produce Chardonnay grapes, a vine produces the fruit that's congruent to it and on brand. Fruit reproduces the identity or essence of the vine itself. So Jesus is going to describe that, and he's going to take away the imagery, and he's going to give us like some plain talk and name the thing. So in verse 9, he says, "As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love." So it's different, right? He's not saying remain in the vine. He's saying remain in my love. So the vine was representing his love all along. And so there's our resolution again, remain. But gone is that vineyard imagery. He's being very clear now that when we are connected to him, we're connected to the source of love. As Merlot vines produce Merlot fruit, love bears the fruit of love. I have said these things to you so that my joy would be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and I ordained you so that you would go produce fruit and that that fruit would last. I've given you these commandments so that you can love each other. So he's telling us to remain and stay connected because God's joy is going to be in us. And our joy will be complete. He's asking us to resolve to remain, and out of that will come a fruit called joy. Staying connected to the life source of love pours this fruit out from us, and he says it's a love that will last. So do you remember the context of this conversation that he's having with his disciples, right? It's right before he's going to go die. And at the outset, we mentioned how significant and meaningful last words are right before death. He knows that this is the last group text thread, and this will resonate in their hearts after he's gone. At night, when it's quiet and they're laying their head on their pillow, they aren't going to remember him saying, "Hey, what I really want for you is a promotion." They're not going to remember back to this moment and hear him say, "Bigger paycheck." Instead, the words that he chose to impart to them, implore them, command them, was remain. Stay connected to my love. And when you do, just wait. The fruit is going to blow your mind. not only is this fruit going to lead to your complete joy and the things that are lasting, this fruit is exactly what I created you for. This love blossoms into loving others. Love lays down their life for their friends, for those that you love. And Jesus went first on this. And now the fruit we bear is congruent to his character. It's sacrificial, unselfish love. This fruit keeps us from being just a stick in 2026. We're able to be the life-giving branch that we were created to be. Love keeps us from being that stick in 2026. Embrace yourself, because this love is going to compel you to give what cannot be repaid. It's going to pour out of you like centuries of Christians who have gone before you on the vine. They have fed the hungry, sheltered the unhoused, befriended the lonely, adopted the orphan. This love tends littles, tends elders. It tends and befriends the vulnerable. Healing, listening, advocating, and welcoming, this is the fruit of love. This love has borne some pretty outlandish stuff, some self-sacrificial fruit over the centuries. And this is part of God's plan. He has orchestrated this love to move on earth by his Spirit through disciples like us to impact others with his love. Arbor, this is not a to-do list or a resolution list so that we earn more love from him or acceptance by him. This is simply the natural fruit that's born on a branch rooted in love. Remember, God loves us now, not as a better version of ourselves in 2026, because we don't work for God's affection. We work from it. We don't work for his affection. We work from it. There are some here in this room today who don't feel super securely attached to God's love. When we consider the attachment we might have to the vine, to Christ, we wonder if something broke off, maybe. Maybe it's not as vibrant of a connection that we once had. When we evaluate the fruit in our life, we're underwhelmed. Like a Christmas tree who has been in water for a while, we realize it's getting harder and harder to appear well and flourishing, because we're not, no matter how much tinsel we throw on. You may sense that you want to be reconnected and reconnected to a vine that is alive and healthy and rooted. And in the cold light of day, you may think about things that probably should be pruned out of you this year. And if this is you, I do have good news. The good news is that gardeners graft, reconnection is possible. In my course of study about vines and fruit, I came across a task that a gardener takes when he's dressing the vine, as it's called. Of course, there's the normal tasks like watering and providing support to the branches. But he also does something called grafting. The main root is called a rootstock. The main vine is called a rootstock, and it's established super deep in the soil. To graft in a little grape branch to this healthy vine stock, the gardener makes a deep cut first across the top. And what that does is it causes what horticulturists call a bleeding or a weeping. In essence, the vine's spring of life with that cut comes up And so when the little shoot or the bud is pressed to the blood, it adheres. This is a picture of grafting tape that the rootstock and the shoot are bound together with grafting tape, allowing the two separate plants to become one. This grafting tape holds them and binds them together. It's left in place indefinitely to provide support until the vine's life spring courses back through that branch. Fruit often comes after 2 years after a graft is made, though the branch's growth and strength happens immediately as soon as the life force goes back into the vine. Here's why this is encouraging. Sometimes we may feel disconnected from the Lord, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Binding ourselves to Him, to the one who calls Himself the vine, the one who wept and bled for us, Scripture says, this binds us and reconnects us through the power of His Spirit. And here's the deal. I think that for sure that may be some of you here in this room. Maybe you once committed to the branch and became part of a vine, but you don't really sense spiritual flourishing. My invitation for you then would be, like grafting tape, to shore up the weak spots and press into life in the vine for 2026. And it may feel awkward at first, and that's okay, because grafts, they take time. They do. But should you resolve to remain in 2026, to choose connection with Christ first, you'll watch the highest and best fruit arrive, that joy and love. And those things will change the course of your lesser desires and resolutions. Practically, what does that look like? Practically, what does that look like? I mean, there's part of me that wants to go into the, like, to-do list of, like, how does it look to press into the vine? And I'll go ahead and read all that. Like, I have suggestions for days. But I don't want to neglect the spiritual work of the Holy Spirit, that He is enabling you to grow and to graft and hold on. But I do think it does take some intention on your part to prioritize or reprioritize. So here are my practical suggestions for you, or invitations. If you wanted to press into the vine this year, I would join a group. I would join the community practice or the scripture practice. All of these things are happening at the end of the month. I would say you should be here every Sunday, and I think you should serve. And I think you should do a Bible reading plan. How's that? I mean, in a way, we can get really instructive like this, and we can get lost in the to-do list, checking off things. That is not the point, right? Because we had said before, this is part of flourishing. This is part of you leaning into life in the vine, right? So recalibrating your ear to hear His voice. That's going to happen through time in the Word. Right? So these things may seem like a to-do list, but honestly, they're not. They're so that you can become one with the vine. Faith practices that connect us to Christ, they seem clunky at first, but this is the perfect time of year to be new at something. And we start where we're at, and we start small, which is best practice for anything you're taking up this year. In time, the grafting tape doesn't bear as much weight anymore, because what is awkward and clunky starts to become second nature. The graft holds, the branch bears fruit. So as we close today, I want you to close your eyes for a minute, just quiet yourself for a moment. I want to speak to those of you in the room who feel disconnected from Christ, from the vine. There's something in you that might resonate with the analogy of a dried up Christmas tree. You don't feel like a flourishing grapevine. You feel like you don't have spiritual roots, that the lifeblood that is sourcing you to bear the kind of fruit Jesus referred to. In the passage, he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend, which is what he's done for you. The blood that was shed from the vine, from Jesus, is the lifeblood that your soul needs. Through it, the Holy Spirit courses through you and flourishes you, and it bears the fruit of love that will make your joy complete. In this moment, you may resolve that not just for 2026, but for your whole life, this is what you yearn for. This is what you want, and that what you need, this life in the vine. Here at Arbor Church, we call that finding and following Jesus. And I would like to pray for you with your eyes closed in this moment. I just wonder, is there someone who could use prayer? Because this is your resolution, and you know that you are going to need prayer support for this to happen. Would you raise your hand so that we would know how to pray for you in this moment? Thank you. Let's pray. Jesus, our vine, you offer us the life source that we need. We recognize and acknowledge this in this moment, that we can't do this on our own. We can't bear fruit of love and joy. We're worried that the fruit that we're bearing isn't going to last. It's not that kind of fruit. Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to come in this moment to meet the people who raised their hands, who said, yes, I need this in my life. I can't do this alone. I want to find and follow Jesus in a different way. I want to be reconnected and grafted to the vine because I need that fruit, and I know I can't do it without you. Lord, you're faithful to meet our prayers, and we say thank you. We say thank you, and amen. Amen.